I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to the Mastering Mondays podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of Mastering Mondays. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. Instead of a special guest, we're going to discuss one of the applications Microsoft businesses and education providers should be using, and that is Microsoft Planner.
That's right. So for those who don't know, Microsoft Planner is a tool to manage tasks, to-do lists, plans, and projects all in one place. So essentially, it's a task management tool helping you manage your tasks daily, weekly, monthly, and so on. I've been using Planner since around 2017. It's been around since 2016, and I've used it to manage large teams and projects ever since.
There are various ways to use Planner. So from how you arrange your columns, you've got kind of buckets, as Planner calls the columns, to the use of labels and who gets assigned to a particular task. You know, is it just the person who owns the task or everyone who needs to know about its progress, etc.? Can you tell us a bit about how you use Planner and how businesses and educational providers perhaps should be using it?
Yeah, I mean, I can cover both the business and the education provider perspective with the way I'm using it. I've been working in education for over 12 years now and worked for and with various businesses before and during that time as well. So hospitality, of course, No More Bad Mondays, retail, etc., where there have been a large number of projects at play, but also day-to-day tasks, you know, ongoing as well. So first off, what does Planner offer? Well, as you mentioned, David, you've got your columns or buckets, as Planner calls them. You can label these. So my advice is to use these as overarching task types. So if I was to use your food and retail business, David, as an example, you have a cafe, restaurant there, a shop, etc. One of your buckets would likely be called supply, with tasks in it that focus on purchasing goods, maintaining them, like fridge maintenance, etc. You could have a second bucket called bar counter operations. So that's going to show any tasks relevant to that. And, you know, let's throw in a third bucket called shop development. This is going to be where tasks are focused on the future of the shop, for example. So item research, feedback, etc. So you've got your buckets. We can now add tasks to it. So here we can give them a title, and you always want to keep them focused and to the point, and you can assign staff to those tasks. So let's say, for example, we throw in a task in the shop development bucket. So let's call it research trend in products. We can give it a start date, an end date. So we can set the expectations of when we want this task to be completed. Then you can then give it an importance level. And then it comes to a section in Planner called notes. Now, personally, I think this is badly labeled. Notes to me is a description of what the task is about. So it should be a short, focused description on what is required. I always write these in third person, and I'm sure we're going to go into detail shortly as to why I do that. So my description, for example, would be something like, research what's a trending relevant product that the main shop could sell, using competitor research and customer feedback to help understand what products our customers want to see in the shop. And then I might add something in like feedback via a plan document that we'll add into the Planner, because you can add those as attachments. And then I can go on to the checklist. So the checklist is where you can break down the various sections of the task and who's responsible for each section. So one could be competitor research, another could be trending media products, another could be document write-up. And now we have essentially what is our task, and we've assigned it to who's relevant, and they get automatically notified thanks to Planner and Microsoft, and staff can make various comments within Planner on the progress. So that, in a nutshell, is the basics of Microsoft Planner.
So I'm fully aware that you can give your Planner a bit of a boost by introducing things like Power Automate, Power BI, and lists into the mix, because Planner itself is a relatively simple product, I think. Can you tell us how you can kind of extend the capabilities using the other apps in the Microsoft 365 product suite?
Yeah, so Microsoft Planner is a great tool out of the box. And as I just explained, it can straight away be a tool that gives tasks out to your teams. But I've always felt it can be a little bit more than that. which is where I turn to Power Automate and what I kind of call a power plan. And a power plan is where we've taken Microsoft Planner and we've kind of like pushed it to its limits, thanks to, like we're saying, things like Power Automate and Power BI. So I'm utilizing Power Automate to take things up a gear. So the first thing I like to do is make more use of labels. So labels allow you to basically put a colored tag into all your tasks. You can edit the names of these tasks, and I do like to use one to say who is the lead on the task. So I can simply add a tag called lead and then put the initials of the team member that's leading it. But with Power Automate, we can then make things a little bit more dynamic. So let's say you want to assign your whole kitchen team to a task. You don't want to spend time manually assigning each staff member. So let's put a label together called kitchen team and add the label to your task. And then with Power Automate, what that can do is trigger so that it actually automatically assigns all of your kitchen staff or the relevant people to that task. So straight away, we've got much more efficiency there and we've sped up the process of creating and assigning these tasks. So if we take it a step further with comments, so comments in Microsoft Planner are a funny one. Sometimes people don't get notified automatically, and that's when they haven't gone in the task and already commented themselves. And even if they do get the comment, it often can be missed, particularly if you're using Teams or Outlook for your day-to-day communications, which most people are. So again, with Power Automate, what I like to do is set it up so any comments go to the relevant people, so the people assigned to the task, via Teams and or Outlook. So when they're posted on the plan, it will automatically send it across to them on Teams or Outlook.
So you're saying that basically people don't get notified automatically if they haven't already gone into the task and commented. So you know, if they haven't engaged with the task, then they wouldn't receive that notification of a comment, which it seems like a really, really big miss, doesn't it, from Microsoft's perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Out of the box, that's exactly what happens. And, you know, we offer, as you're aware, David, we offer on our website a free download to kind of overcome this. So we get these notifications I'm talking about with Teams and Outlook. But yeah, that is the case. Is if people haven't engaged in the task, they're not going to get those comments. But those comments may be to get them engaged in the task. So it does seem a little bit backwards from Microsoft, and perhaps something with the new version, which we'll talk about shortly, may overcome in the future. It certainly doesn't right now. But yeah, it's a big one for me. And even if it does, you do get the kind of standard Microsoft automated emails to say, you know, you've got a task and or you've got a comment. And they can often be missed. They sometimes don't go into your focused inbox. And certainly if you're trying to sway your team more towards Microsoft Teams for your communications, you're certainly not going to get it. So that's where then, you know, like I said, I use Power Automate to bring those messages into Teams and bring them into Outlook in a style and fashion that's appropriate. So that might be a really short message on Teams, or it might be something in with more detail in Outlook, and then get them to reply within Planner. So it would give them a link as well back to the task, because that's important to make sure they go back to where all those details are being stored and make those comments. So I use that with my teams, and it's a really useful way of ensuring that people don't miss the comments, because I don't want to send emails and I don't want to send Teams message chasing up where we're at with a task. The idea here is to bring everything to do with that task inside that planner. So another thing there is completions. So Planner allows you to complete tasks, and then they're stored in the same bucket, but in kind of like a completed section. But if you have lots of different tasks or lots of different plans, you can often miss when tasks are completed. So you can do two things here. So again, you can use Power Automate to set up a notification via Teams or Outlook to let whoever's relevant know that a task has been completed. So for some of the teams that I work with, if they complete a task, I get a simple notification on Teams that says, David has completed this task. Another thing you can do is where I like to bring Microsoft Lists into the mix. And then again, use Automate to list the completed tasks in a Microsoft list with a description of what the task was. So this is really useful if I, you know, sort of got so much going on, I can't really remember what the actual task was. Or maybe perhaps you want to share that with a manager or another team member, particularly, you know, maybe you're away from the office and you're relying on someone else to check in if something's been completed. You know, they can go there and see it through that. So that's a great way to have a quick overview of what tasks are done And perhaps you can use that for some kind of reporting on productivity, for example, as well. So that's just some of the ways that I like to use Power Automate to give Planner a bit of a boost and really make it what I say, I call it a power plan.
Can we just go back to talk a little bit more about setting plans up? You mentioned buckets being a big part of organizing those tasks better. But I suppose what I want to get to is you can have multiple plans, you can have multiple buckets, you can have various people related to a plan, assigned to a task, in a bucket. You know, how should you structure your plan? Should you, you know, could you have all your team in one monster plan, or should you have multiple plans? How granular should your buckets be? You know, I know there's no simple answer, but you know, in your experience, kind of where does the balance lie?
Everyone I talk to does it slightly differently. But with what I like to do is I actually give my teams their own planner plans, or my team members. So let's say I've got five people reporting to me. I create a plan for all of those five people. So each person has their own individual plan. Now, I label those plans, because labeling is important as well, with the staff member's name. And I usually call it a work hub. Because it seems to sort of make more sense. It's where I want them to go to get all their work. It's the hub. Okay. So, you know, I might have David's work hub as a plan. And for the most part, that plan would then contain all the tasks that I need you and or your team to lead on. So you could manage 5, 10, 15, 20 people as well. I'm not going to go sort of down to that level. I'm asking you, as someone that reports to me, to manage these tasks. So they may be in David's work hub, but you might want to move them to someone in your team's work hub. But I like to see them in your plan, as you are technically the lead, even though someone else is gonna do that task. So that really helps break things down. So now you're still likely to have tasks in other work hubs. So I might have another member of staff, let's call it Joe's work hub, and Joe and her team could have a task that involves you as well. But that's not something you or your team are overly responsible for, you're just kind of a part of it. So that would go into Joe's work hub, but again, using Power Automate and kind of getting the notifications set up correctly can really make sure that you're aware and you're not going to, you know, get lost in the ether really of all these different plans.
So I can see how that would work on a kind of an operational basis. So, you know, where you've got an established operation and you're just looking at completing those tasks and managing the things that need to do. And this clearly helps you manage the workload and relationship with your direct reports. I guess one thing that strikes me, though, is that if you were using this more as a project tool, like a project management tool, then you might take a different approach, I guess, because, you know, this is, you would want to be looking at your plan and looking across your plan as being less focused on individual activity or team activity and more about, you know, completion of the plan or implementation of a piece of software or implementation of a new process or product line or whatever. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and we've got a perfect example of that, really, where Lobby, our visitor check-in app, so we've implemented that in various companies already. And what we tend to do there, is set up a dedicated plan for the installation and of Lobby. So that's, like you said, it's not where you have an individual that's kind of responsible. There's probably 5, 10, maybe even 15 people at play that are involved in that project. And yeah, I do treat those slightly differently. So you've got your day-to-day tasks or your larger tasks that I'm expecting people to do. And then there's the projects, the big key things that come once a year. So in education, you know, you've got your curriculum planning, for example. You know, you're not going to have different individual tasks in 1,000 work hubs. You're going to have a curriculum planner, and that's where all your tasks are going to lie. And you're using the assigned function correctly, you can ensure the right people are assigned to those tasks as well.
And I guess also with that allows everybody who has permissions within the plan to see everybody's activities as well. So, you know, they get a holistic overview of the project as a whole rather than just a view of their own individual actions.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's great, again, going back to our example with Lobby, is, you know, we're going into a company to set up on their Microsoft ecosystem. So we're on their planner, technically. But you can share that with us as externals or vice versa, so that, you know, someone that doesn't have an account with a particular college that I've installed Lobby with, I can still go into that plan. I can still comment. I can still add tasks, or just have that overarching look at what's going on. So for the colleges that we've already worked with the Lobby Visitor app, that planner is kind of all ticked off. It's all done and dusted. But for the next couple of months, you know, I still have an overview or the access to those plans. And if anything does come up, they're aware to throw it into that planner as a task, assign me, assign you, and we'll take a look at what that problem is. So it's really useful, even if you're an external working with businesses.
Okay, so to return back to the use of planner more as a kind of an ongoing management of operations, and it does work for that as well, because I think it would be worthwhile pointing out that you can have repeating tasks. So if you've got something that happens every week, you can have it, you know, appearing as a task every Tuesday or whatever. So it doesn't have to be viewed in the same way as, say, for example, a piece of planning software, which is clearly for, you know, a singular purpose of implementing a particular thing. You know, Planner does work as an ongoing sort of planning tool as well, an operational tool. So moving back to that kind of ongoing operational kind of way it can be used, can all of the things that you mentioned help with weekly reporting to, say, your manager? So, you know, you mentioned using lists for completed tasks, but what about giving your manager an overview of where everything's at?
Yeah, it's a great question. So whilst Planner offers various types of views like grids, boards and charts, it doesn't really offer anything detailed enough for you to say to your manager, here you go, this is where everything's at, without them, of course, going into each task or each plan. And they're not going to have the time to do that. So what I like to do here is first find out what format they want their updates in. So perhaps there's an official company format, and then using the great power of Power Automate once again, create and generate a scheduled or manual trigger updated in the format that they want. So it will contain the task in progress, the task completed, with the description of what the tasks were, and the last comment that was made on the task. So to support that, I give my teams a reminder the day or two before the update is needed, saying, right, go into anything not yet completed and comment with a general update of where that task is at. Do that in a third person perspective. And remember, I said earlier about doing a third person write up of the description as well, because that ensures then that weekly update really does make sense to your manager or anyone else having to read it. So they can clearly see what the task was, what the description was, and what the action is so far. Where are they at with it?
Let's move on from, you know, the established abilities of Planner, and let's talk a little bit about the version 2 of Planner, which has just been rolled out, actually. It's out of beta, and it's been being rolled out across. Although I think it's only available in Teams at the moment, and I don't think the Teams apps on Android or iOS included. So it's just Teams on the web. But yeah, so that it's kind of changed slightly. So instead of a completely separate application, it's now integrated into Teams, and it has, I think it also integrates into your personal tasks, etc. So can you tell us a bit more about that and the changes that have come with version 2?
So what the new update is trying to do, and I say trying to do as it's still being rolled out, they're still adding features to it, is it's looking to bring things together like Microsoft to-do lists, which is already within Microsoft Teams. And I call this your shopping list. It's your quick, simple, what do you need and have you got it, tick box type thing. So it's bringing in that, and then it's really starting to combine Microsoft Projects and Microsoft Planner. So Projects is a much more sophisticated project management tool. We vaguely mentioned it earlier. Something perhaps procurement teams within organizations are using more. And the cherry on the cake here is, of course, Copilot. And we're really starting to bring in Copilot features into Planner, which I'm all for. So I mentioned earlier about writing your tasks in third person. I often use AI to do this, or to give a more structured detail to my task descriptions, etc. So it's great that's going to be available in Planner, you know, right away in the same screen that you're you know, you're writing your tasks into. So Microsoft sum it up kind of the same way I do. The Teams Planner is looking to be able to continue to take on that simple task management stuff, but then it can take it right up to that enterprise project level management. Now, I must warn you that there's some new pricing structures to this. So some of the features are not free. The traditional standard planner stuff is, but other things aren't. And we'll continue to see updates on that and what's going to be chargeable and what's kind of included if you do pay the extra. But overall, the new Planner and Teams is going to be a really powerful tool, like Planner already is, but there's still some ways to go, you know, to get it there.
So do you think that everyone in every kind of business should be using Planner? Is there something there for everybody?
100%, without a shadow of a doubt. I talk about this a lot with schools, colleges, businesses, friends, universities that I work with. Everyone should be using Planner. You know, it's going to reduce your emails. It's going to bring efficiency. It's going to bring better organization. A thought I'd like to leave everyone with is, imagine if everyone used Planner for tasks across an organization. How powerful the reporting from that could be, how informed everyone would be, how you could literally ensure nothing is missed. And the list goes on. So if your organization is not using Planner, you should be. And of course, I can help with that if anyone needs me to.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, actually, Matt. And I think one thing maybe we haven't touched on is the apps that exist on iOS and Android on for phones and tablets, etc. They're so simple and so nice to use. They're very, very tactile. They're very, very obvious. I don't think there's anybody within an organization who wouldn't feel completely at home with managing their tasks and their workload in that environment, whether it be, you know, a groundsman who is out, you know, out in the wild, you know, doing stuff and just checking off everything that needs to be done. Or you've got someone who's working in the office who's got a more administrative type role or a technical role. You know, I think it works equally well for all manner of people across organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think, like I was saying earlier about, you know, bringing in the power of Power Automate into all of this, is that, you know, that goes even further, because sometimes they're not even going to need to access Planner, but they're going to need to know when something's been ticked off. So let's say, for example, you've got some groundsmen or something like you mentioned there, and they have multiple buildings to lock up, and you've got one person doing some, one person doing another. Now, you just need to tick off the ones you've done. So you go into that checklist and you go, yeah, I've locked up site A and site B. Now, you need to know that site C and site D are locked up, but you don't necessarily want to keep going back into a planner and keep refreshing. So that's where things like the notifications of Teams would come in, where they'd simply get a notification on the phone. It'd go, yeah, site C and site D are now locked up because David has ticked that off.
Okay, Matt, thanks. That's a really good comprehensive overview. And I know on our website, you'll be continuing to offer a variety of services to support all of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm often throwing up free automations to support organizations with Planner on the website as well. So some of the Power Automate stuff that I brought up already is available now, like the comment stuff to ensure that you get those notifications.
Brilliant. Well, I guess I should still end with saying thank you for joining me on this week's episode of Mastering Mondays.
Thank you.